Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman katsiran katsira. Amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي على الناس زمان يحج أغنياء الناس للنزاهة وأوسطهم للتجارة وفقراؤهم للمسألة وقراءهم للسمع والرياء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear brothers and sisters, we are in the season of Hajj. The 3 months of Hajj, Shawwal, Dhul-Qadah and Dhul-Hajjah. These are the 3 months of Hajj. Those who have made intention to go for Hajj would have already been making preparations some away time before. Right? From long months before we would have been making preparation. We would have been, and that is monetary preparation. I always advise people that are going for Hajj that after Ramadan, you should be walking at least half an hour every day. At least half an hour you should try to get in every day, walking, so that you make yourself physically fit. Why? Because the different ibadat of Allah requires different sacrifices from the human being. Hajj is one of those ibadah that not only requires monetary sacrifice, that you have to pay money and you have to spend money, like is in the case of zakat. Not only that, but it also requires physical sacrifice, whereby a person has to be healthy, a person has to be fit, in order to traverse the different places, in order to withstand the harshness of the weather when you reach in Saudi, and all the different sacrifices that are necessary. So not only physical bodily sacrifice, but also monetary sacrifice is necessary for Hajj. And we have to be prepared for this. We have to plan for this. You do not hope to expect to just get into a whole set of money and then you're accustomed eating a whole set of food and then you'll just get fit. Right? No, what is going to happen is that you're going to go for Hajj and you might end up in hospital, and on the day of Arafah they put you in an ambulance and they carry you on Arafah and they bring you back. Right? And that is your Hajj. Right? Your Hajj is finished. My dear brothers and sisters, Hajj is a very, very devoted ibadah. Very, very serious ibadah. Right? Many a times we go for Hajj and we become overwhelmed by the amount of people that we are seeing, because we are not accustomed with that amount of people. We become overwhelmed by the architecture and the size of the haram, because we have been hearing about it all the time, but we couldn't imagine that it is this big. And even if I went for Hajj a few years ago, you go back, you find like the place got bigger. We become overwhelmed by that. And we become overwhelmed by the amount of shopping that is available, the amount of things that we could buy, the prices that we pay for things in Trinidad. When you go there and you see them selling for next to nothing, we become overwhelmed by these things. We become overwhelmed by the variety and the amount of food that is available. All the different types of food from the different parts of the world is available. Best tasting food. The amount of fruits that are available, we become overwhelmed by it. And sometimes we forget the reason why we went. Sometimes we forget the purpose why we went. Why it is we really came here. And understand one thing about Hajj, is that we are going to be tried and we are going to be tested. No matter how much preparations you made, how physically healthy you might be, how much money you have at your disposal, you are going to be tried and you are going to be tested. This trial and this test comes in all different forms and fashion. Sometimes it is your health is going to be tried and tested. You end up with diarrhea, vomiting, and the most famous thing, you end up with the flu, coughing, cannot breathe properly, cold, fever. And sometimes you are going to be tried and tested because your luggage got damaged, your luggage got misplaced. Right, you have all of these bags to tote, Sometimes you're going to be tried and tested by your family members who are traveling with you. You don't understand what kind of people them is. Why you can't just make do with that? Sometimes it's not your sickness, but somebody who is near to you, somebody who is close to you, they becoming ill. It affects your program. Sometimes it is the leader of your group. You're going to be tried and tested. You can't understand why they are doing this. We paid for this. How come this is happening? We wasn't expecting this. Sometimes you're going to be tried and tested by the authorities that are there. That how come it is they don't know a place like Trinidad? Why they can't find us on the map? You're going to be tried and tested in all different kind of ways when you go for Hajj. But at the end of the day, we have to remember the purpose of our visit. Because if we forget the purpose while we have gone there, then we would have gone and we would have returned and we just came back. And everybody would know us as Haji. And everybody going to know us that, yes, this brother went for Hajj. And you could see his head is shaved, yes, because he went for Hajj. And we know this brother, and alhamdulillah, Allah accept your Hajj. Hajjun mabrur. May Allah accept your Hajj. But what did you do when you went for Hajj? Right? Does Hajj transform an individual? Is it some kind of magic wand that passes over the individual? Some kind of abracadabra that you're not accustomed reading five-time namaz and you go for it, you come back and you read five-time namaz? Mm-mm. It doesn't happen. You're not accustomed dressing properly. You're not accustomed putting on hijab and dressing properly and you feel you go for Hajj and you go to come back with full veil? Mm-mm. It doesn't happen. You're a person who likes to bad mouth. And you have a dirty tongue. You feel you go for Hajj and you come back and that is going to be cured. No, my dear brothers and sisters. Hajj doesn't cure us of these ills that we have within ourselves. We bear malice in our heart. Whether it is before Hajj, when we return after Hajj, it is still going to be there. That purging of the inside. And we could draw reference. We could draw reference right here, right where we are at. Right here we could draw reference that what is the most important ibadah that there is in Islam? We all know the answer to that. It is our salah. The most important ibadah that there is. It is not Hajj. It is not zakat. It is not fasting. These are also compulsory. Understand me. But the most important ibadah is our salah, our five-time salah. If before we pray our salah, we are in a frame of mind, by the time we have finished praying our salah, are we any different? Do we feel different after we have finished praying our salah? Do we feel that after the Jummah salah, the enmity that we was feeling, the hatred that we was feeling for another Muslim, do you think at the end of the Jummah salah it is going to be different? You would be transformed? If there was something to transform us in that way, my dear brothers, it would have been our salah. So do not feel that you're traveling to go to Saudi for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month and you're going to return and you're going to be transformed. No, my dear brothers, you're not going to be transformed like that. Purging starts from the inside. Right? Purging and cleansing start from the inside. You have to want to become a better person. You have to want to not desire to speak lies anymore. You have to want and have that desire that I am not going to backbite anymore. You have to want and desire that inshallah that I am going to start praying my five times salah. Not from when I come back after Hajj, but now I am going to start praying my five times salah. You have to want and desire to fulfill not only the rights of Allah, but fulfill your rights towards humanity, your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your family members, your children, your parents, Muslims as well as non-Muslims. Fulfill your right. You have to want that. And then you could go before Allah Azawajal in the Haram and pray to Allah. You could go on the day of Arafah and pray to Allah. Oh Allah, these are the things that I want, oh Allah. And then you hope on Allah Azawajal. You put your, you rely on your trust on Allah Azawajal. Why? Because it was your intention. You wanted it. You went before Allah and you begged for it. And now you are hoping that Allah Azawajal fulfill your wishes. It doesn't happen automatically, my dear brothers. How many hujjaj do we know do not pray their 5 times salah? How many hujjaj do we know are not dressing properly? How much of them do we know that till today we cannot listen to what they are saying because of their manner of speaking? How much of them do we know? Where does the change come about? You know, long ago, because Hajj was an expensive thing and very few people were going for Hajj, when you came back from Hajj long ago, you were a Haji, they would put you to lead Salah. But if you didn't know how to pray Salah before going for Hajj, when you come from Hajj, you can't pray Salah. There is nobody that is going to teach you how to pray Salah when you go for Hajj. Nobody. Nobody is going to sit down and say, "Boy, you know, this is the compulsory part of Ruku. You must remain so long. And you know, when you come up from Ruku, you must do this. And in Sijda, you must do that. And you must recite at least this amount of Qiraat." Nobody is going to teach you that when you go for Hajj. So if you cannot pray Salah before you went from Hajj, going and praying behind the Imam of Haramain and Imam Sudais and all the other Imams, when you come back here, you still can't pray. Right? If you don't know how much zakat you have to give, when you come back after Hajj, you still don't know how much zakat you have to give. There is no magical one that is going to weave to transform you into something different that you're coming back. The only different that you're coming back after Hajj, my dear brothers and sisters, is your hair might be a little shorter. On the outside, your hair might be a little shorter. That's the only difference that you're going to come back with. On the outside. On the inside, depends on you. On the inside, it depends on you how much you want to change. How much you begged Allah Azawajal. Because one place where dua is accepted is while you're making tawaf and you're going around the Kaaba. And you're making tawaf and you're making dua to Allah Azawajal. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Whatever dua you know you are making whilst you're going wrong, your 7 rungs of tawaf. And then of course, you would have the brothers and sisters with their video cam and their cameras taking out pictures and talking on their cell phones that you know will be passing by the Blackstone now and while they're going around the Kaaba. Right? Come on sight. Come on, sight. Allahu alam, Allah knows best. Right? So you could make the journey. And Hajj is a very easy journey. You are going for a month, but Hajj is 5 days. And in that 5 days, you are going to be tried and tested so much because from your accommodation to what is available and all that kind of thing and where you have to walk and where you have to go, you are going to be tried and tested so much that many a times all the abusing and cursing and everything that takes place within those 5 days. I thought this area is a air-conditioned tent and we're going to have our own toilet and food going to be on time. And right, in that 5 days time, my dear brothers and sisters, in that 5 days time, you're going to be tried and tested the most. Right? So be prepared for the journey that you are going to undertake. 5 days of Hajj. On the 8th of Zilhijjah, you leave Makkah and you go to Mina. On the 8th of Zilhijjah, after you pray your Fajr namaz, you leave and you go to Mina. When you get into Mina, there is nothing to do. You pray Zuhar, Asir, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr of the ninth morning, you pray in Mina. You pray your 5 times. It is more virtuous to pray there than to go back in Makkah and pray it in Haram. That's what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. He prayed that 5 salah there. So you pray your 5 salah in Mina. Right? After you pray your 5 salah, after the morning of the ninth, you start making your preparations in order to leave to go to Arafah. You get into Arafah around midday. You are going to remain until in Arafah until sunset time, from lunchtime to sunset time. All you have to do, make dua, read Quran, that kind of thing. That is all you're doing. You finish in Arafah in the daytime, nighttime after sunset, you go to Mina, you go to Muzdalifah. You're remaining in Muzdalifah for the night, you're spending the night in Muzdalifah. What you're going to do? Go and read a little Quran and read your namaz and that kind of thing and remain, take a little sleep and spend the night. And then you're going to come back. After praying Fajr namaz in Muzdalifah, you're going to come back to Mina. You come back to Mina, you go on your Peldi Jamarat. Right? Your animal would get sacrificed for you. You shave your head. You get out of your clothing and you put on your normal clothing. Right? You are now semi-halal. Not totally halal. Semi-halal. You could do everything else except have intimacy with your spouse. After you do your tawaful ifada, then you become totally halal. Hajj is finished. For the next 2 days you are in Mina, all you're doing is pelting. So if that action of pelting takes half an hour, then what am I doing for the whole day? What am I going to be doing for the whole day? If I am going to Arafah and I have to make dua from midday until Maghrib namaz, how much time am I going to spend in dua? What am I going to be doing for the whole day in Arafah? What am I going to be doing for the whole night in Muzdalifah? We have the whole night in Muzdalifah. What are we going to be doing? When I get back to Mina, I have next 2 days or 3 days to spend here. What am I going to do for the whole day after we spend that half an hour to pelt shaitan or whatever and come back? Or 1 hour. What am I going to be doing? And that, my dear brothers, is what the Hajj is all about. What we are going to be doing is what the Hajj is all about. The rituals that are there, the rituals, the little pelting, the doing the tawaf and all of that is there, running between Safa and Marwa, right? All these things are now becoming easier and easier. Long ago, where there was a lot of pushing and shoving and all of that in order to pelt the Jamarat, now they have 4 levels, 5 levels, Allah knows by so much levels they have now. Well organized, that when your group goes in, you pelt the Jamarat, you make dua and you come out. Nobody else around. Right? To run between Safa and Marwa is not 1 level anymore, 2 levels, 3 levels, 4 levels, Allah knows best how much there is now. Right? Elevators, escalators taking you up, whereas the first floor and the second floor, a lot of pushing and rushing, third floor, fourth floor empty. Right? Easy. Right? Easy to do. So what are you spending your timing doing? When we go for Hajj, what are we spending our time in? And now these are only 5 days, eh? From the 8th to the 12th, 5 days of Hajj. So what about the other 25 days? Where are we going to be and what are we going to be doing? My dear brothers and sisters, the same amal and the same action that we are accustomed doing in our everyday life is the actions that we are going to be doing. We are accustomed running in the mall. Boy, we have some time, whole half day, we are not until we go in the mall. And you go on your gape and you watch here and you buy this and you shop around and you spend the whole time. Right? You pass the half day done. Right? You're accustomed going out for dinner, going and buying food. And let me go for Isha namaz, and after that you go for dinner and you go and you spend 2 hours and you watch around and you buy a little thing here again and you come back in the hotel. By that time you're tired. Time to go to sleep. The same actions that you have implemented in your daily lives right here are the actions that you are going to get yourself involved in when you go to perform Hajj. If you did not rectify, if you are accustomed sitting down in a group and old talking for hours, then when you go there, you'll be sitting down in a group and old talking for hours. Right? Because everybody get together for food, and food that is normally supposed to take 5 and 10 minutes to finish eating and then get back to your ibadah now becomes a 1 hour ordeal. Boy, again they bring eggs. Eggs again we have to eat. I fed up eat egg. Me want no egg. Me want to see no egg again. And all sorts of things. But let me go out the road. You'll get some nice food to buy cheap outside there. And we utilize what is supposed to be a 5 and a 10 minutes exercise now become a 1 hour and an hour and a half exercise. Only around the worshipping of the stomach. Right? The worshipping of the stomach. So my dear brothers and sisters, what are we going to do in this other 25 days that we have? We have to implement it here. We have to implement that program here. What was the 24 hours of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? What was he involved in? When did his day begin? Did it begin with the Fajr Azan? Did it begin with the Tahajjud Azan? Or did it begin before that? When are we going to begin our day? Are we going to be praying our tahajjud salah? Are we going to be reading our Quran? Are we going to be reading our Hizbul Azams, that compilation of dua that has been put together with all the duas from Ahadith and Quran that has been formulated in a little booklet divided into 7 parts so we can read that part every day? Are we going to be sending Darood on the Rasul? Are we going to be making our tasbih? Are we going to give salams on the Rasul? How much time are we going to spend on it? How much Quran are we going to read? Comfortably, a person accustomed reading a juz of Quran a day could finish a Quran in Makkah, could finish one in Medina, could finish one in Mina, could even finish one in Aziziyah. Easy. But you have to want to do it. You have to want to do it. And if we do not accustom ourselves in sitting down and begging from Allah Azza wa Jal, begging from Allah Azza wa Jal of all the things that we want, then you go find that after namaz, you raise your hand for half a minute and you know what to ask for again. Dua finish, or I get tired. You're feeling tired, make dua. Right? My dear brothers and sisters, Hajj is an opportunity that we are getting. An opportunity. As the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who does not do Hajj, that Hajj was compulsory on him and he did not do Hajj. No sickness had kept him back. There was safety on the way. No oppressive king had held him back. He didn't have nothing urgent that he had to attend to look after. And yet still he did not do his Hajj. Then he could die as a Jew or Christian. It's irrelevant. Right? So we have to start preparing. If Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the means, this year is out of the question. We have to start preparing for next year. We have to start preparing for next year. A lot of the Hajj groups were sold out months before Hajj. So we have to start preparing for next year and hope that Allah Azza wa Jal does not take us during this year. And if for some reason or the other Hajj is compulsory on us and we did not perform the Hajj, write it down in your will that Hajj is compulsory on me. Let somebody perform Hajj on my behalf so that the money would be taken out from your will in order to perform Hajj for you. If you don't have the money, well, you don't have the money. Hajj is not compulsory on you. Right? So, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to start planning. We have to start making preparation for those of us who are going for Hajj this year. Start making preparation. Just like how we start making preparation for our Qurbani. Yes, on the day of Qurbani, it is going to become compulsory on us. But we don't wait until the day to say, boy, well, you know, I can't find an animal, boy, you know, animal available. No, you start making preparation from now. Start looking for animals, start putting aside your money from early. I tell people your zakat, yes, zakat is due once a year, but sometimes it is difficult to take out a lump sum of money at one time. So every month you give some, every month you're accustomed giving a little bit. Right, so too you could put aside a little bit of money every month, so that you can, when the time for Qurbani comes and it's costing $1,400, $1,500 to do Qurbani, you would have the money. But you would have planned and prepared for it. You don't expect the money to just drop out of the sky for you on the day of Eid, right? And you would get the money to do Qurbani. No, you plan and you prepare, and like everything else in life, you have to plan and prepare. You have to plan and prepare for everything in this life and in the life hereafter. We have to plan and we have to prepare for it. We do not expect that we do not do our good deeds. We're not worshipping Allah. We are going about doing what we want, when we want, eating what we want, putting on what we want to dress. And then in the judgment, we want to believe Allah is most merciful. Allah would forgive. Allah is most merciful. His mercy is more than that of 70 mothers. Allah is most merciful. Yes, Allah is most merciful. Yes. We agree with that. But Allah is also ashaddul azab, very severe in giving punishment. Right? Very, very severe in giving punishment. Right? So in this world, we are going to be tried and we are going to be tested. We are going to be tried and tested in this world in all different ways. In all different ways, Allah is going to try and test us. And sometimes this trial and this test comes as a reminder. Check upon yourself. You're going about doing your work and that kind of thing, and you realize, well, this foot starting to hurt me a little bit. You know, I can't read namaz properly. This foot is hurting me a little bit. Think back, reflect a little bit. any calamity that will befall the companions of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would reflect on their life. Why is this happening to me? Is Allah Azawajal trying to remind me about something? This little fresh coal that I have, is it Allah Azawajal is trying to remind me about something in order to inform me that, okay, look, check upon yourself, see what is going on here? A little, you lost a little money or wealth. You're being tried in your wealth and your property. Is Allah Azawajal trying to remind me something about zakat, something about sadaqah that I should be giving? Right? Something about your family members. Am I checking up on my family members? Every one of you is a shepherd. You're responsible for your flock. I am checking to see if they're doing the right thing. Little trials and little tests as we go along the road of life, Allah would keep pointing out to us. Pointing out to us, giving us little hints. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the next. This white beard that you are seeing here, what do you think this is? It is a reminder. When you look in the mirror, it is a reminder, this white beard that you are seeing, that you are not getting younger. It is a reminder to tell you that one day they would all become gray, and one day you would have to die. Everybody, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut, everyone is going to die. It is a reminder that you're getting closer and closer to the grave. Keep checking on yourself. Keep checking on yourself. Check on your amals. Check on your deeds. You're not getting younger. Little reminders that Allah Azawajal will keep singing us throughout our lives. We could turn a blind eye to it and feel that, yes, everything is okay. I'm still feeling good. I could still walk a mile. I could still walk a 5 kilometers comfortable and I'm healthy, and so everything good. I checked my balance last month and it is a 7-figure and everything looking good. And we could turn a blind eye to the signs that Allah Azawajal is sending us. Sometimes the signs does not have to be with us, you know. It might be an earthquake that took place in some other part of the world. Some river that never flooded in Pakistan in 18 years decide to flood. And we feel that we live in such a big country and we are so high off the sea level that nothing can happen to us. My dear brothers and sisters, open our eyes, contemplate and reflect on the signs of Allah Azawajal. And for those of us who Allah Azawajal have accepted to go for the Hajj, you are going on a very sacred journey. The Prophet ﷺ told us about traveling and journey, as-safaru qita'atun min al-azab, muttafaqun alayh, that journey is part of punishment. It deprives a person of his sleep. It deprives a person of his food and his drink. So when your journey and the purpose of your journey is finishing, then return to your home. Return to your home. Right? Hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Right? So you're going for a purpose. Always keep in the back of your mind the reason why you are going. You are going to be tried. You are going to be tested. Remember that in all different forms and fashion, you are going to be tried and tested. With your property, with your health, with people's health, with other people that in your group, with immigration, with customs, with all sorts of things, you are going to be tried and tested. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you go for Hajj, whatever you are tried and tested with, keep in terms of goods and monetary dealings, bear it with patience. Be calm and patient about it. Whatever loss of life that might occur, bear it with patience, because it is your sacrifice is equivalent to the amount of rewards that you are going to get. The sacrifice that you have to make is equivalent to the amount of rewards that you have to get. Right? So remember that. It doesn't mean to say that you go on, you put yourself through unnecessary troubles. The Prophet ﷺ saw two men tied up to one another going for Hajj. He asked them where they're going. They say they're going for Hajj. They made a vow that they would tie up to one another and go for Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ said, vows is not for that. Vows is for doing good actions. Tying up all yourself and going for Hajj doesn't make that doesn't do anything for you. Or you only putting all yourself through unnecessary inconvenience. Right? So you're not trying to put yourself through unnecessary inconvenience, but at the same time you're trying to make effort. You're trying to, like I said, the trial and the test sometimes is with you as an individual, and sometimes it's nothing to do with you but people who you are traveling with. And that is only how you get to know people, when you travel with them. You get to understand and you get to know people, and you know the qualities and how much people could take. Sometimes a little something happens to an individual and he feels as though the whole mountain is on him. And you meet other people in your group who will be able to be walking with a mountain and they're still walking straight. Right, my dear brothers and sisters, you are going on a sacred journey. It might be once in a lifetime. Allah knows best if you would get the opportunity to go again. Make the best use of the time that you have there. Spend your time in ibadah. Every single day, 120 mercies descend on the Kaaba. 120 descend on the Kaaba. 60 of those are for people who are doing tawaf. 60 of those blessings and mercies are for people involved in tawaf. 40 are for those who are involved in salah. And 20 are for those who only sit down looking at the Kaaba. Only sit down looking at the Kaaba. 20 of those virtues and mercies that come down from Allah Azza wa Jal, only sitting looking at the Kaaba. But you have to leave your air-conditioned hotel to go and sit in the haram to look at the Kaaba. We're not talking about a picture on the wall of the Kaaba, on the wall of the hotel or anything like that. Right? Looking at the Kaaba. My dear brothers and sisters, try to spend your time as much as you could in doing tawaf. In doing tawaf. Why? Because it is the only place you could do tawaf. When you come back home, you could still pray nafil and tahajjud and ishraq and awabin and all the nafil namaz and that kind of thing. Right? But you can't make tawaf when you're here. Right, unless you're some grave worshipper and you do tawaf around a grave, or you do tawaf around Kumini grave, or Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, whoever the Qadian is, do tawaf around. You understand? But Muslims, we only do tawaf around the Kaaba. Right? So, my dear brothers and sisters, we're going on a very sacred journey, a very sacred time. And one of the things we tend to forget, one of the things that we tend to forget when we go for Hajj, is that the first 10 days of Zilhajjah are the days when Allah Azza wa Jal loves good amal. The 10 days of Zilhajjah, Allah Azza wa Jal loves amal on those 10 days more than any other days of the year. So much so that fasting one of these days is equivalent to fasting for 1 year. And waking up one of these nights is equivalent to waking up on the night of Laylatul Qadr. But because we have now gone for Hajj, we forget about the first 10 days of Zilhajjah. We forget about the blessedness of these 10 days. So remember that you are in a very sacred place and you would be in a very sacred time. Utilize your time properly. Spend your time well. Try to earn maximum amount of reward in spending, in going out for jamaat, in doing good deeds, in counseling your brothers, in helping your brothers and sisters who might be sick. Sometimes it might just be getting something for somebody. Sometimes it might just be assisting somebody to wash some clothes. Whatever good deeds you could do on those days, my dear brothers, try and do it. Allah knows best whether we'd get the opportunity again. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant all the Hujjaj who are going this year. I know there are many brothers and sisters who are going. May he grant all of them Hajjun Mabrur. And we ask on behalf of the Jamaat that we would forgive you for any sins, any omissions that you may have committed. We ask you to pray for us. We ask you when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. Hassan Basri had written that there are 15 places where duas are accepted. Right, 15 places where duas are accepted when we're in that area. Many places where duas are accepted in the Mataf area, by the Multazam, between the Black Stone and the door of the Kaaba to get into that area, by the Mizabul Rahma, the spouting that comes down. In that area, duas are accepted. By the Rukni Yamaniyain, duas are accepted. Safa, Marwa, when running between Safa and Marwa, on the place of Arafah, on Muzdalifah, by the Tree Jamarat. All these are places where duas are accepted. Make dua again and again and again. Make dua for yourself. Make dua for your parents. Make dua for your children, for your spiritual leaders, for your imams, for your jamaat members, all your family members, all those in your family who might be going astray or who went astray. For Allah Azza wa Jal to keep them on the right path, to keep them and let them die with Islam, to take us with Islam. When Shaitan was seen on the day of Arafah and he was looking very depressed and he was asked, well, why are you looking so depressed? He said that all these people are concerned about is having a good ending. And when their concern is about having a good ending, then how am I going to destroy their amal? And because of that, Shaitan was most depressed on the day of Arafah. So make dua again and again. It might be the same dua that you are making, but learn to make it over and over and over and over. Keep making the dua. You're making tawaf, it might be one dua that you are saying, but keep saying it until it starts to come from inside, and not just the mouth, but it starts to come from inside. And then it will be a dua. May Allah Azawajal guide us all. May He give us the tawfiq for those who have not performed the Hajj. May He give us the means. May He make it available for us that inshallah someday in the near future we would also be able to perform the Hajj. And may He accept the Hajj of those who are going. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.